The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When Jesus had driven out a demon, some of the crowd said, "By the power of Baal-zebul, the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Others, to test him, asked him for a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be laid waste, and house will fall against house. And if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that it is by Baal-zebul that I drive out demons. If I then drive out demons by Baal-zebul, by whom do your own people drive them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoils. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of someone, it roams through arid regions searching for rest, but finding none, it says, 'I shall return to my home from which I came.' But upon returning, it finds it swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and brings back seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, who move in and dwell there. And the last condition of that man is worse than the first." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. And so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, a tiny little thought for you today. Hey, they accused Jesus of being in league with the devil, okay? So, when they accuse you of all of the worst things, don't be surprised. You know, they're not going to accuse you of being in league with the devil. But what will they say? Well, these days they'll say that you're hateful or that you're a bigot, falsely, of course, okay? Don't be surprised if they say that Jesus was in league with the devil. Don't be surprised when people hurl accusations against you too. But that's not really what I wanted to talk about here this morning. Rather, there's some pretty unusual things Jesus says here. I just wanted to take a closer look with you. He says, when a strong man fully armed guards his palace, his possessions are safe. But when one stronger attacks and overcomes him, he takes away the armor on which he relied and distributes the spoils. What does that mean? What is that all about? Well, the prophet Isaiah once said that when the Messiah comes, he's going to rescue those who have been taken prisoner by an evil tyrant, and he's going to redistribute what the tyrant stole from them when the Messiah comes. John the Baptist said the Messiah was at hand, and he said, "One mightier than myself is coming." So here's Jesus, and he's effectively saying in those lines, I'm the one Isaiah spoke about, and I'm the one that John the Baptist spoke about. So a strong man fully armed, who's the strong man fully armed that Jesus speaks about? It's the devil, the false ruler of this world. One stronger than he comes along and overcomes him. Who's the one stronger than he? The one Isaiah talked about, the one John the Baptist talked about. Jesus is the one who's the one who's stronger, who overcomes the power of the evil one. And he says he takes away the armor on which he relied. What was the armor on which the devil relied? Two things: lies and fear. Lies. That sin will make you happy. It's a big lie in which the devil holds everybody captive. It's the armor that protects him from people realizing who he really is. Lies that if you only had more honor, if you only had more power, if you only had more pleasure, if you only had more money, well, then you'd be fulfilled. And lies that God is the one who's holding you back with all of his commandments. It's part of the armor that keeps the devil from being revealed for who he truly is. And fear. Fear that if you do God's will, it's going to cause you too much pain. Fear of what other people are going to think about you, right? If you draw too close to the Lord, what are other people going to think? Maybe the biggest fear of all is that God doesn't really love you and that his will is not really good for you. That's the armor of the devil, and Jesus takes it off. Shows him, reveals him, helpless for who he really is. Now, in the ancient world, something everybody would have been familiar with was a triumphal procession of the Roman army. Now, when a Roman general conquered an enemy general, there would be a triumphal procession after the battle. And the conquering general would ride in a chariot, and he'd wear a fine purple garment with gold, and he would wear a laurel wreath around his head as a sign of victory. And all the freed peoples would go behind his chariot, you know, playing their flutes and singing and dancing. And in front of him was the leader of the conquered army. He would have been in chains, held by a former slave. No fancy garments. He would have been clothed in rags, if at all. And it would have been a message to all the people gathered to see the procession that one is the one you used to fear, and you don't have to be afraid of anything anymore. That's what Jesus says he does to the power of the devil. But there's a catch. There's a catch. For Jesus to do that, you got to choose to let him draw close. And that's why he says, whoever's not with me is against me. Whoever does not gather with me scatters. There's no such thing as neutrality in the following of the Lord. You know, neutrality, I think, is what we yearn for and pine for. Most people don't go out and do evil things. They just want to do whatever they want to do and turn to God and say, this has nothing to do with you. They just want to be neutral. There's no such thing as neutral with regard to the Lord. In every decision we make, we're either drawing closer or we're getting further away. And that's why how we use our free will is so very important. Always looking up to heaven saying, Lord, what is it that you want of me to do? And he'll give you the next step. When Jesus called his first apostles, he only said, come follow me. And they said, where do you live? And he said, come and see. And it's kind of the good news here is the only thing we need to ask ourselves is, what does God ask of me now? What does God ask of me today? And we pray here at the Mass for the grace from the Eucharist to make that next right step. And we ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Pope St. John the 23rd, pray for us.